Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. Periodically, here on The Daily Poem, we like to take a week and devote it to a single theme, a particular poetic genre or poetic technique, maybe the works of a single author. This week, we'd like to look at five examples of ekphrastic poetry, that is, poetry that is inspired by other works of art. Often paintings, but also sculpture or poetry, etc. And a good famous example of ekphrastic poetry might be John Keats' Ode on a Grecian Urn, in which the speaker narrates and comments upon the visual content of an actual piece of Greek pottery. All good ekphrastic poems are going to be more than a mere description, though they enter into a conversation with the original work of art and lead the reader both beyond it and also more deeply into it. Our first ekphrastic poem this week is by Oregon native Edwin Markham, born 1852, died 1940. In his day, he was rather prolific and a well-known poetic success, though he's often only remembered for this poem now. It's entitled The Man with the Hoe, and it was written after Markham viewed a painting by Jean-Francois Millet, L'Homme à la Hoe, or The Man with the Hoe. He was struck by the figure with which we are confronted in the painting, a hired peasant who's broken from his labor briefly to lean upon his hoe, which is still caked with the earth that he's been cutting and digging with it. And this is a scene devoid of comfort. And in it, Markham thought he interpreted a socialistic protest about the plight of the peasant existence in Europe. And I can imagine that he was also reading it onto the plight of the enslaved man in the U.S. He was writing after the Civil War, though he grew up in the last days of legal slavery and probably knew it well and felt pretty strongly about it. I'll read the poem once and offer a few comments, and then read it one more time. Epigram. God made man in his own image. In the image of God made he him. Bowed by the weight of centuries, he leans upon his hoe and gazes on the ground, the emptiness of ages in his face, and on his back the burden of the world. Who made him dead to rapture and despair? A thing that grieves not and that never hopes, solid and stunned, a brother to the ox. Who loosened and let down this brutal jaw? Whose was the hand that slanted back this brow? Whose breath blew out the light within this brain? Is this the thing the Lord God made and gave to have dominion over sea and land, to trace the stars and search the heavens for power, to feel the passion of eternity? Is this the dream he dreamed, who shaped the suns and marked their ways upon the ancient deep? Down all the stretch of hell to its last gulf, there is no shape more terrible than this. More tongued with censure of the world's blind greed, more filled with signs and portents for the soul, more fraught with menace to the universe. What gulfs between him and the seraphim? Slave of the wheel of labor, what to him are Plato and the swing of Pleiades? What the long reaches of the peaks of song, the rift of dawn, the reddening of the rose, through this dread shape the suffering ages look. Time's tragedy is in the aching stoop. Through this dread shape humanity betrayed, plundered, profaned, and disinherited cries protest to the powers that made the world, a protest that is also a prophecy. O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, is this the handiwork you give to God, this monstrous thing? Distorted and soul-quenched. How will you ever straighten up this shape, touch it again with immortality, give back the upward looking and the light. Rebuild in it the music and the dream. Make right the immemorial infamies, perfidious wrongs, immediable woes. O masters, lords and rulers in all lands, how will the future reckon with this man? How answer his brute question in that hour when whirlwinds of rebellion shake all shores? How will it be with kingdoms and with kings, with those who shaped him to the thing he is, when this dumb terror shall rise to judge the world after the silence of the centuries? This poem was called by one reader The Battle Cry of the Next Thousand Years, written in 1898. You can see how it's both a response to the upheavals of the 19th century, but also sort of prophetic anticipation of greater upheavals to come in the early 20th century. Markham begins with an epigram calling to mind the creation of man in the book of Genesis. And then he opens with these rhetorical questions asking about the intent of God when he created man, and comparing this ideal to the image in the painting. This man is bent, anguished. Is that the figure that God created? Is that the figure that God meant to rule over the sea and the land? The implied answer, of course, is no, that the figure in the painting is not created by God, but created by other men who have ruled over him in cruel or exploitative ways. What's striking is that one of the examples he gives is that this figure has no framework for enjoyment in life. The pleasures of song or contemplating the works of Plato, right? Plato here just a stand-in, right? Philosophy, for meditating on the good things, for the love of wisdom, for the charting of the stars. None of this is relevant to the existence of the anguished man with the hoe. This brings to mind Hamlet's comments about man. What a piece of work is a man, how noble in reason, how infinite in faculties, in form and moving, how express and admirable in action, how like an angel in apprehension, how like a god, the beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And then Hamlet, in his despair and his depression, he says, to me, though, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights me not. Markham seems to be narrating a transformation from the one thing into the other thing. That man was made, according to Markham, the beauty of the world and the paragon of animals, but has fallen into a quintessence of dust. There's perhaps another irony here of our own historic moment, that the person with the bowed back and the dull look is often the person that has been mesmerized by some electronic device in an age when electronic devices are more and more of taking over the menial labor of menial laborers. For good or for ill, you know, I'd be fascinated to hear or see someone write a poem in which the questions in this poem's final stanza are sort of repurposed for our own age. How will the future reckon with this man? How answer his brute question in that hour when whirlwinds of rebellion shake all shores? Or better yet, will our own version of this man even be capable of asking questions on his own behalf? Here is the man with the hoe, one more time. Bowed by the weight of centuries, he leans upon his hoe and gazes on the ground, the emptiness of ages in his face, and on his back the burden of the world. Who made him dead to rapture and despair, a thing that grieves not and that never hopes? Stolid and stunned, a brother to the ox? Who's loosened and let down this brutal jaw? Whose was the hand that slanted back this brow? Whose breath blew out the light within his brain? Is this the thing the Lord God made and gave to have dominion over sea and land, to trace the stars and search the heavens for power, to feel the passion of eternity? Is this the dream he dreamed who shaped the suns and marked their ways upon the ancient deep? Down all the stretch of hell to its last gulf, there is no shape more terrible than this, more tongued with censure of the world's blind greed, more filled with signs and portents for the soul, more fraught with menace to the universe. What gulfs between him and the seraphim? Slave of the wheel of labor, what to him are Plato and the swing of Pleiades? What the long reaches of the peaks of song, the rift of dawn, the reddening of the rose? Through this dread shape the suffering ages look. Time's tragedy is in the aching stoop. Through this dread shape humanity betrayed, plundered, profaned, and disinherited, cries protest to the powers that made the world, a protest that is also a prophecy. O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, is this the handiwork you give to God? This monstrous thing distorted and soul-quenched? How will you ever straighten up this shape, touch it again with immortality? Give back the upward-looking and the light. Rebuild in it the music and the dream. Make right the immemorial infamies, perfidious wrongs, and medical woes. O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, how will the future reckon with this man? How answer his brute question in that hour when whirlwinds of rebellion shake all shores? How will it be with kingdoms and with kings, with those who shaped him to the thing he is, when this dumb terror shall rise to judge the world after the silence of the centuries? This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes or support the show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. On behalf of our whole team at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.